Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now we got Matt Verzo coming up here in just about 20 minutes, but exciting times as we've been talking a lot about it, and so is the college football world when it comes to Colorado football and Coach Prime, college football and the Super Bowl, all great things to discuss with our next guest, former national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes, Chad Brown, joining us. Chad, how are you today, my man?
I am fantastic. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. And so I feel like we have to get right to it. People are paying attention to Colorado football these days. Any reason? Anything going on out there?
For a program that has been mainly irrelevant from a national picture standpoint for almost two decades, the hiring of Deion Sanders, or Coach Prime, as he has been requested to be called, this 8 weeks has been absolutely bananas since he's been hired. The amount of national attention, the amount of social media follows and likes and apparel sales at the University of Colorado, the recruits, the transfers, 40-plus new kids in the program just in 8 weeks. It has been about as bananas of an early time with a college coach that I can ever recall in my lifetime. So he has hit the ground running in an amazing way, and Buff fans could not be more excited.
Hey, let me ask you, Chad. So put yourself, take yourself out of, I'm a Colorado legend, Hall of Famer, but I'm in high school in Pasadena. Instead of Bill McCartney recruiting me at 17 years old, it's Deion Sanders recruiting me to Colorado. What's your reaction to this, the 17-year-old Chad Brown that would be towards Deion compared to, and we're kind of all the same age in late 40s, I know you're in your early 50s, the reaction as an older person looking at Deion and the way he's handling recruiting at CU?
Well, I think you kind of framed it really well, because Deion is not trying to get the 52-year-olds to sign up for his program. He's trying to get 17- and 18-year-olds. And those kids are into social media. If you watch any of the clips of Deion talking kind of behind the scenes, he's talked about how big social media is for what he's doing out there. So the kids are into it. That's what they love. That's what's important to them. They're into likes and follows and all that kind of stuff. So that's the game. And he's probably playing better than any college program in the country if he gets to use himself as social media content. And because he's got some swagger and some coolness to himself, the kids absolutely eat that up. Is Deion for me at 52 years old? No, I think I look at life through a slightly different lens. But at 17 or 18, I would have been really excited to sign up for this program. So, make no mistake about it, he has tuned his message perfectly to his audience, and it's working very, very well.
The roster, and you talked about the amount of new faces too. When we see new coaches, you start to kind of get an idea of, you know, how they're going to go about that first year. What you're hearing, and especially from all the Colorado football circles, you know, when it does come to getting that many new faces, obviously the big task is to get them to work within your system, to be able to develop them, those young players, and even the new faces. Is that still kind of the biggest thing that remains, you know, to be seen as far as the overall development of what this this roster and a lot of these new faces will kind of turn out to be?
I think that's the first step in the process, is getting these kids on campus, getting them up to life in Boulder. Boulder's a little bit of an unusual college football environment. So while there's a ton of enthusiasm, optimism, and positivity right now, there still remains a part of the campus life who wishes there wasn't a football program at all. So that's something that's unique in Boulder amongst, you know, teams that we consider the college kind of football elite, the perennial top 20, top 25 kind of programs, is there is a part of the university community, as a part of the faculty, students on campus, who wish there wasn't a football program, and that the highest paid person on campus should be a Nobel Prize winner and not the head football coach. Mm-hmm. So those kids and Deion have to get used to that kind of thinking. While they're getting a lot of love now, that opposition will crop up. But to your point, he's got to find a way to take all these guys who are coming in with kind of a mercenary kind of attitude,
yeah, yeah.
that it's a little bit about me, it's about my following, my social media, my this, my that, and how to gel those guys into a team. Now, he's come out and said he doesn't have time to wait around. He doesn't have time to, you know, for things to come together slowly. He's trying to hit the ground running. So this is going to be a tremendous test for him and his staff to bring these guys together very quickly because, you know, as we know, college football doesn't wait. If you don't show up ready to play, you're going to get your butt beat. And so with all this positivity, you would hate for it to go no place because they couldn't find a way to get going early in the season.
You've won in college football before. How do teams like Nebraska and Colorado, how do they win in college football in 2023 and beyond?
They have to understand that it is about recruiting. The recruiting landscape has changed considerably, and these kids have options, and sometimes those options come with a lot of money behind them. I'm not saying every kid is making their choice based on the NIL dollars alone, but there are certainly some kids we've seen in the last couple of years who haven't even made a visit to the campus. They are judging their college scholarship opportunities by the NIL dollars. So that is a part of it. What is it? What's in it for me? With the transfer rule, with the you know, the dollars that I just talked about, these kids have to be almost, I won't say placated to, but you have to understand that this kid has options that were very different than when I was playing college football. Back then, if you transferred, you had to sit out a year. And you, there was kind of a stain on you as being a transfer. Oh, you couldn't hack it over at this school, so now you left trying to find a better opportunity over here. Now college coaches have to recognize if they don't re-recruit their roster every single year and give those kids something to come back for, that kid is going to leave. So when you're bringing them out as new kids that Deion has brought in all at once, can you possibly keep them all happy? So that's another one of the tasks up for Deion is, how do I divvy out playtime to keep these kids going? I did a lot of college football this year for Compass Media. And when I would talk to the coaches, one of those conversations was, I've got to find a way to play all my freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores and get them on the field, because if I don't, they're going to leave. And I'll never have a chance to see what kind of player they could actually become, because they'll be playing for somebody else if I don't let them play early on in their college experience.
Chad, we're seeing some early signs of maybe a very potential fun back and forth between Nebraska and Colorado. Look, you were a part of this back when you won a national title, but when Colorado and Coach Mack essentially, they pointed out Nebraska, they declared Nebraska would be the rivalry. You were part of that. It's hard to say rivalry because you don't have a game between two programs every year. It's not an annual thing. But now with the personality of Deion Sanders, and I would say the subtleties of Matt Rhule, where there's a jab here or there, and we know these two teams are locking up in Boulder in week two, that just what that could be as far as not just the game itself, but also knowing that these two programs are going to be competing against each other when it comes to recruiting. Does this kind of bring back some old memories for you?
It does. It does, because, you know, you can play each other every year and you can call it a rivalry, but until both teams are successful, the rest of the country doesn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So now that Matt Rhule is back, and Matt's certainly a very skilled college coach, NFL was a different experience for him, but as a college coach, there's no doubt about his skill and ability to turn a program around. Deion has hit the ground running in Boulder. Now there's more intrigue nationally for this, you know, what used to be a rivalry and hopefully will be in the future. These kinds of games that are on the schedule, Coach McCartney put the Nebraska game in red on the schedule. He formulated the whole program around this rivalry with Nebraska. Coaches weren't allowed to drive red cars. Players couldn't wear red in the team facility. So by pointing to the team that he saw as the absolute pinnacle back then of the old school Big Eight, that was what we used to as a standard bearer, and that was the level that we needed to get to. And that's what happens in these rivalry games, is you able to set your mark to somebody.
Yeah.
How do we surpass those guys? So this game, as it goes on to the future, I think can be that kind of game for these new coaches.
Hey, let me shift a little bit to the NFL, because you do have a semi-connection to Deion Sanders. Not only now is he the head coach at your alma mater, but when he was with the Cowboys and you were with the Steelers, you guys met in the Super Bowl. There's going to be 110 million of us that next Sunday are going to watch the Eagles and the Chiefs play. There are very, very few people that get to play in that game. This might sound like a simple question, but I'm always curious. Chad, what's it like to play in the Super Bowl?
It is awesome. It is awesome. But on the other hand, if you lose that game, it is absolutely crushing to lose that game. It probably took me 10 years after my Steelers lost to the Cowboys in that Super Bowl to accept the fact that we had lost, number one. Wow. And number two, look at the Super Bowl as a positive experience. Mm. For those 10 years, I thought I would have rather not played in the Super Bowl at all than to go and lose. And you know, as a little background, you know, I won 32 games in a row in high school, back-to-back championships. Went to Colorado, obviously won a national championship there. So when a big game happens, I expect to win. Mm-hmm. And to stand there on the field after that game and watch the confetti come down on the Dallas Cowboys, that was crushing. And even to this day, this is the time of year where NFL Network will replay all the old Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, have a little short little 30-minute or hour show about each old Super Bowl. If I'm flipping through and I catch my Steelers playing those Cowboys in that game, I will sit down and I'll still expect us to find a way to win. So even now, you know, 25 plus years later, I still get crushed and hurt by that. But obviously, it's an amazing experience. And Bill Cowher talked about to us the night before the game. He said, make sure you get to the stadium early. Mm-hmm. You can get on the field and you can see all the stars in the stands and you can see all that. So when the game kicks off, you are ready to play, because this is going to be a moment that will far surpass even your wildest dreams and expectations.
I got to imagine, you always hear this when, you know, people get married. You're like, you're going to forget the day. You know, you got married, but everything just goes by and so quickly. It's kind of a blur. The week and the day sort of leading up to the game, is it kind of similar to where there's so much anticipation, you're trying to prepare for it, but also it's just that the biggest moment of your professional sports career, that kind of the days leading up to it and the distractions are just completely like out of the memory?
You know, I think I can remember it all pretty well. The week before the game, this week, there's so much logistical stuff. There's always a meeting before or after practice, and it's the traveling secretary, and it's the person who coordinates the wives and the families playing, and somebody's got to come in and talk to you about tickets and how many tickets you get and all those kinds of things. There's a lot of that. And meanwhile, the coaches are installing the game plan. Then you get to the host city and you've got to do the media day, which at this point has turned into a complete circus. You got to deal with all of that. And then if you are on a team, I think with a coach who has been there, kind of done that before, I talked to Bill Cowher and Bill Belichick about this. They've always liked to hold something back from the game plan until you get down to the host city. Because otherwise, if you just kind of keep going over the same thing over and over and over, the guys get bored. Mm-hmm. So you got to throw in a trick play or two. You got to throw in something unusual that will get the guys mentally re-engaged again with the game plan and not just dreaming about kickoff on Sunday. So there's a process to this, and the best teams find a way to navigate these waters and give their team best chance for success.
Hey, you spend a lot of time talking about the sport you love on Sports Talk Radio in Denver, and you spend a lot of time talking about the Broncos. For Bronco fans that are in our listening audience that you talk to every day, how soon before the Broncos are back on this stage?
Wow. Well, you're talking about the Super Bowl stage. That is, I guess it all depends on how fixable Russell Wilson is. I think we all have trust that Sean Payton is a tremendous offensive-minded head coach. His track record of success in New Orleans, I think four times in his 15 years, they were the number one offense in the league. Seven or eight other times, they were a top 10 offense in the league. So if Russell Wilson can be fixed, improve on some of the things that were definite issues for him this last season, and this is not just the decline of a guy, but a guy who maybe had a blip in his career arc, then that certainly is possible. There's a very good defense on the other side of the ball. There's some very talented players over there. The scheme that they play is one of the most popular defensive schemes in the league. It's very successful. They've got some talent at the wide receiver position. They've got a young running back in Javonte Williams, who's able to come back, if he's able to come back from an ACL injury, is one of the more physical punishing runners in the league. So there's some pieces there, but I would suspect to be on this stage, we are at least 3 years away with the draft capital they gave up to get Russell Wilson, and then the draft capital they had to give up to get Sean Payton. Their ability to kind of restock the roster is going to be delayed for a couple of years. And there's some offensive line issues that need to be addressed. There are some other issues on this team, particularly special teams, some depth issues that also need to be addressed. So I don't see it happening in the next year or two, but if we were to kick that can down the road to year three or four and Russell Wilson is fixable, then that certainly is a possibility.
Hey, one other thing here, as it kind of all the world's colliding this week, your former teammate retired. You got in your couple of tours with the Patriots. You got a good Tom Brady story?
People are always shocked when I tell them this story. Tom Brady is by far the greatest big name teammate I've ever been around. I played with some amazing Hall of Fame players, guys who were great teammates: Rod Woodson, Damani Dawson, Kevin Green, John Randall, Cortez Kennedy, Walter Jones. I mean, the list goes on and on. But Tom Brady, the bottom five guys on that Patriots roster, because Bill's always looking to improve the team out there, those guys are always turning over. It's a constant churn. So almost every single week, there's somebody new on that football team.
Yeah.
And Tom would be the first guy to walk over to him in the locker room, and as corny as it sounds, would shake his hand and say, "Hey, I'm Tom Brady. You got any questions? You got any issues? Come to me. Come talk to me. I'll help you out." And it seems like a small thing. But obviously, at that stage, to be a part of the Patriots, particularly as a guy brand new in week 12, it's an intimidating thing to be there. So for Tom to come over, break that wall down, break that barrier down, let that guy know you are a part of this, and I'm going to tell you that you're a part of this. And then throughout that first day, you see Tom Brady sitting in the front row in the meeting. You see Tom Brady going in the weight room. He ain't moving a whole lot of weight, but he sure is working hard.
Yeah.
There's conditioning at practice. Tom is absolutely busting his butt during conditioning. It's like, whoa, this is what I'm a part of. And that guy came over and introduced himself to me and told me, if I got any questions, to come directly to him. It just really kind of brought it all together for those new guys, and Tom would do that.
Oh, that's awesome. And I want to end on this just to kind of go full circle with Nebraska, Colorado. Look, we got a lot of listeners that remember when that thing was spicy, where you were smack dab in the middle of it. So when you think of Nebraska, Colorado, when you were playing in this this rivalry in the Big Eight, what will stick with you forever? Is there a moment, a certain game, something about that that you will, when you think Nebraska, Colorado, you always go to this place?
I got a chance to play some pretty significant time in my redshirt freshman year in the game against Nebraska at Folsom Field in Boulder. And I made a play on a screen pass that was kind of like I needed to make a play that was bigger than just doing my assignment. And I made a play on a screen pass right there on the sideline, on the Buffalo sideline, about the 25-yard line. And I thought, okay, I think I can do this. I think I can play major college football at a big level. To do that in that game with all the buildup, with all the hype, with all the energy and the emotion and the passion, in some cases hatred, to be able to cut through all of that and just diagnose, read, react, and go make a play, that was huge for my career. And that was kind of the springboard off with the rest of my CU career went, was that one play against Nebraska that gave me the confidence that I needed.
Chad, great stuff. I enjoy your work, all the different places where people can catch you nationally and in Denver as well. I appreciate the time, and have a great weekend and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful weekend as well.
It's Chad Brown. If you're in the Denver area on 104.5 The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
Chad has a 2-hour show. Good stuff there. I mean, he's had Nick, I was going to have to cut him off if he started to talk about, because he was alluding to the 1919 tie out in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he was going to go any further, I was going to have to cut him off. And we just have to say, oh, we got a bad connection. We
yeah.
lost him there.
Yeah.
But listen to him tell stories all day.
He's had quite the career. Now, I didn't want to follow up when he was talking about the Super Bowl. So in that Super Bowl, Jimmy will remember this as a Cowboy fan.
It's the last one.
Deion Sanders lined up as a wide receiver. So there's a guy that he beats on his 47-yard reception.
Mm-hmm.
The guy we just talked to.
Mm-hmm. Post play.
Yeah.
Yep. I was waiting for you to mention Neil O'Donnell.
Do you think they have or will be discussing that in the future?
I don't know.
I could see Deion bringing it up just to have a laugh.
So, one team, alum, hey.
So.
game respects game.
You have to be very aware of what's going on in Boulder, especially looking at their roster. Because, I have no idea what to expect. When Nebraska goes there, you kind of say that about Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
But, Deion is everywhere. If you have TikTok, by the way, and you click on one Colorado Deion video, you're getting them all. But it seems like there's a lot of people that have access to Colorado's football program behind the scenes that have cameras rolling. As you know, some coaches, that's not what they do.
Yeah.
I wonder,
it's the exact opposite.
I wonder what, like the alums, like a Chad Brown, an Eric Bieniemy, a Darian Hagan, who he's retained on his staff. I don't think he's an on-field guy, but I think Hagan is in there, as part of their football staff. Like the well-known alums of CU football, how involved they are will be in the program.
Yeah, especially the ones that came up with McCartney, too.
Yeah, that were and I think Deion made a smart move. He embraced right away Bill McCartney.
Yeah.
So Bill McCartney must live in the Boulder area because Deion has been pictured a couple of times with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is going to be fascinating. You can't just go because they have put together some talent.
That, yeah.
In a short amount of time.
But, it demands attention for more other than just, the access that you're seeing, too. I mean, that roster, what they're trying to get accomplished, and as Deion has made it very, very clear on several occasions that they're not waiting around either, there's been some declarations there. And so, other than just the access that you're getting, the inside of the program and Deion reacting to getting certain commits, like this whole thing with Deion at Colorado demands attention. It's the most intriguing story in college football going into 2023.
Does he get up in the morning and there's a camera crew with him? I swear to God.
I like to think there is.
Every single thing he does is on video.
Well, they signed on for another year of the Netflix thing.
I still need to finish.
So if you go back and listen to what, just talking to Chad, so he dropped a little subtle thing that I think makes him uncomfortable, is the gear is about the coach.
Right.
The gear isn't about the school.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Pearl Street Mall, there's a couple of places that sell Colorado gear. And you walk in, the Coach Prime label and brand is in the front of the store. The Colorado football stuff and the other just University of Colorado stuff is in the back of the store. I thought that was a little subtle thing
that's a good catch.
A former player that you... That's something that's new and you're uncomfortable with,
right.
Is that the coach is such the major face of the program instead of the logo and the whole CU is the program.
And everybody,
because what happens if he leaves after a couple years?
Well, then that store will probably discount that.
Yeah. 75% off. Yeah, so if you wait.
You might want to wait it out.
We're a little late on Verz. We'll get to him here in just a bit. Last 30 minutes of a week of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.